From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. Today is the deadline to get health care coverage under the Affordable Care Act. That is, if you want the coverage to start on January 1st. But navigating the system as it stands now can be overwhelming, to say the least, from fluctuating premiums to having only one provider on the marketplace in Florida. Then you have the Trump administration vowing major changes to the entire system. Will the coverage you sign up for today be there in 6 months? What if you miss today's deadline? And what happens to the people who still don't make enough to afford an affordable health insurance plan? We'll talk with professionals who help people navigate the intimidating waters of health insurance and with a local organization trying to fill the health care needs of people who still aren't covered at all. First, the news. This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. Today we're talking about health insurance with today as the deadline to apply for Affordable Care Act subsidies. We've put together a group of professionals who work in health insurance every day to help translate this intimidating subject for us and answer your questions as well. Lynn Thorpe is here. She's the Executive Director of Health Planning Council of Southwest Florida. Her job, among many others, is to help people figure out what kinds of plans and subsidies they qualify for and how to complete the application process. Thanks for joining us on what I'm sure is an incredibly busy day.
It has been a crazy day.
I bet. Also here today is Meredith Viskovich from the Florida Blue, the only insurer still on the exchange here in every county of Florida. Thanks for being here.
You're welcome.
And we have Keith Maples with the Neighborhood Health Clinic in Naples, which offers health care services for people who have no coverage at all, the people that are working, but they're still unable to afford health insurance. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Have you locked in your health insurance for 2017 yet? What has been your experience on the healthcare exchange? Give us a call at 1-877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. You can find us on Facebook at WGCU Public Media. On Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. Lynn Thorpe with the Health Planning Council. It's been reported that today is the day, the deadline to sign up for insurance under the Affordable Care Act, which is also called Obamacare. That's for coverage starting January 1st. So is this the only deadline that we're facing?
No, that's a great question. The first deadline, like you said, is today, which means if you enroll by midnight tonight, your coverage will begin on January 1st. The next deadline is January 15th. For your coverage to begin on February 1st. And then the final deadline for coverage for 2017 is January 31st. If you don't enroll by January 31st, where your coverage will start on March 1st, you would have to qualify for what's known as a special enrollment period during the year. And you'd have to qualify based on a life change, whether it's a change in income, if you move, if you lose your coverage, get married, get out of jail, have a baby. There are very specific life changes that can be reported to qualify you outside of open enrollment.
Okay, so what do you do when someone comes in? I'm sure you're getting a ton of phone calls today with people waiting to the last minute.
You have, and by the way, if you're calling our office and it's going to voicemail, leave a message. We will eventually call you back. So when a consumer comes in, we try to do this by appointment just so they don't have to wait. They sit down and we first set up an account for them on healthcare.gov. They're required to have an email account. If they don't have one, we create one for them and set up their initial account on healthcare.gov. We ask them to bring the information that is generally found on their tax return, so Social Security numbers, birth dates, and estimate of their income for 2017, and we complete the application for them.
So a W-2 might work?
W-2, an old tax return. We have people come in with pay stubs, and they have to do the best they can to estimate their 2017 income, which is no small task for many people. They really don't have a good idea of what they're going to be making next year.
Particularly in our area where you have a lot of people in the service industry who don't know what they're going to make season to season.
Absolutely. Or people in real estate can be very difficult to estimate where you're going to make in the next year. So we do help them through that as best we can or refer them to their tax prep person to help them try to estimate what they're going to be making in the next year. And then also make sure that they're aware that they can report a change in income during the year if they find out that they're going to be making less or more so their credits can be updated. So in any case, right then and there, when you finish the application, they'll get a letter of eligibility explaining exactly what tax credits they may or may not be eligible for. On that letter, they'll also find if there's other documents that are the marketplace is looking for, like income verification or residency information. If they have that with them, we'll scan that into the system and upload it right to healthcare.gov. After they find out what they're eligible for, they can choose whether or not to use all, part, or none of those tax credits. Generally speaking, people use all of it because it makes their monthly premium more affordable. It's applied right then to the prices of the health insurance plans, and then we go through the different options with them, make sure their physicians and their healthcare providers and facilities are in network, look up prescription drug coverages for them to make sure that they're affordable, and help them through the whole process of choosing a health insurance plan that makes most sense for their needs.
Well, for people who don't deal with it every single day, it almost seems like a foreign language sometimes.
Absolutely, and it is. There's a lot of education. We talk about health literacy, some of the new words, and explain like what a copay is. And this is in English, Spanish, and Creole, mind you. So, you know, when you have consumers who are coming in where English is not their first language, or I've worked with people whose native language is Russian, Chinese, you can imagine how even more difficult this process can be.
It is difficult. But I wanted to also talk to Meredith Viskovich from Florida Blue. How much busier have you been, particularly in Lee and Collier County, where you are the only provider in these counties? Charlotte County has others, but down in this area, have you really ramped up?
Absolutely. So, yes, we are the only carrier on exchange for Lee and Collier County. And during the week following the election, Florida Blue saw a 70% increase versus same period last year. And in fact, in the first 2 weeks after the election, we saw more than 26,000 Florida residents visit one of the Florida Blue centers. And the center I work out of is at Coconut Point Mall. So you can imagine how busy we are day after day there, especially with today being the deadline for the January 1st effective date.
Well, again, I want to say I appreciate you coming in because I know you're very busy. What if someone comes in to Florida Blue and they don't want to take advantage of any of the subsidies? Mm-hmm. They're just not interested in it? And they just want to go on their own and get health insurance. Is there a different rate for these people that are going to go it alone, or is there any benefit to that?
Sure. Great question. We have that happen all the time. There's on Marketplace, which is the exchange where you get your subsidy, but a person can also choose off Marketplace where they pay the full premium and they still have that access to affordable health care.
So but when they do the subsidy, though, it cuts down their monthly premium significantly most time.
Correct, yes. So if somebody does not want to participate in the exchange, it would be an off-marketplace plan through Florida Blue, and they have many choices, whether it's a PPO network or an HMO network, and they pay the full premium versus somebody who goes and works with Florida Blue to do an on-market application where we file the subsidy application with that person, really walk through how they use their health care to find out how they can apply those subsidy dollars best. And that really helps then dictate, should they go into an HMO, a PPO, do they have any existing health conditions that need to be managed? And that's something I think is a really neat value add at the Florida Blue Center, is that we have clinicians there that do not cost any money to work with for Florida Blue members to help manage things like diabetes. And that's something that's very prevalent in our community today.
Yeah, it definitely is. Since the rollout of the Affordable Care Act in Florida has seen more than 1.6 million people get health care coverage, 600,000 of those right in South Florida, but Florida still has millions of people that are uninsured. A report by the Kaiser Family Foundation last year found that the state still had 2.8 million people without any health insurance. That's about 1 in 10 when you look at the population. Keith Maples of Neighborhood Healthcare in Naples, these are the people that you are seeing.
Absolutely.
What kind of people are these? Who are they?
You know, you had talked earlier about the service industry, and you look at that's a large population within Collier County. And understanding that, and as we grow, we're continuing to see that. And, you know, Collier County has the hourglass look. It has a large top wealth. It has the medium income, the middle area is a lot smaller, and then the bottom has expanded because of the service industry and because of the growth population.
Mm-hmm. When they get to you, what condition are they in as far as are they just over it, having such a hard time trying to get coverage? And how has their health care been up to the point when they get to your clinic?
You know, it's all kinds. I mean, I think what we see is, you know, when an individual comes to the clinic, again, you know, we're a clinic that gives quality medical and dental care to low-income, uninsured working adults. So they have to qualify. And what does that mean? They come in. Again, they're bringing their records, as we talked about. They're bringing in the records of what their earnings are to make sure they fit below that 200% poverty rate. And, you know, making sure that they're working at least 80 hours a month and understanding that they are uninsured. You know, we have folks that come in that, again, they're sick. So the clinic only sees sick folks that come in. And understanding that, and you talked about a large population base, within Collier County, there was a study done, actually done by Hodges. And it had said if 50,000 people in the community, if they were sick, could potentially qualify for the clinic, and that would mean uninsured, low-income, working adults.
That is a lot of people. We have a phone call coming in from Jeff in Fort Myers. He has a comment he wanted to share. Jeff?
Hi, good afternoon. I just wanted to say that I finished up with my counselor for affordable health care this morning, completely happy. Got the plan for my wife and my stepdaughter that works within our budget, gives us what we need, and we're extremely happy with it.
That's really good news to hear, and we have someone doing a little cheer over here, Lynn. Lynn, I wanted to ask you with the Health Planning Council, these people that are not getting coverage, how is that possible?
So within the law, one of the groups that are not eligible for tax credits are people who are eligible for employer-sponsored coverage through their spouse. So when you're offered coverage through your employer, oftentimes your employer subsidizes it for you. So as the employee, it's generally oftentimes affordable. But for your spouse, it may not be subsidized at all by your employer. The law says that if it's affordable for the employee, meaning it's under 9.5% of their family income, it precludes the spouse from getting tax credits. So that means if, let me give you an example. I'm offered health insurance through my company, and it's $100 a month is my portion. Okay, I can swing with that. To cover my spouse, let's say, for example, it's $700 a month. And those are pretty real numbers that I'm getting in the field. That's a lot of money for a middle income, middle to high income family to pay for health insurance for just the spouse. So those are people who generally are not qualifying, they're not qualifying for the subsidies. So they have insurance that is unaffordable, unattainable. And those, I think, are a big part of the population that continues to go uncovered. I do want to tell those people that we will help them file for an exemption from the penalty, because if that insurance is considered unaffordable, which is 8.15% of their family income, they'll be exempt from the penalty if they don't have health insurance. And we will help them with that.
Where does Medicaid fit in all this?
Well, in the state of Florida, in order to qualify for Medicaid, you generally have to be disabled, have a child, or be under 18. This can be confusing for people because when the Affordable Care Act was passed, there were money put aside from the federal government for states to expand Medicaid coverage to everyone. Some states chose to do that, and some states like Florida chose not to participate. So we often get people moving here from other states. I had a student come in last week from Connecticut. She had, I think, Connecticut Care up there. She had Medicaid in Connecticut, and her parents said, when you get down to Florida, apply for Medicaid, not realizing that down in Florida she was not able to get coverage under Medicaid. So she was having to pay actually full price to get health insurance.
So, yeah, there's a lot of ways to fall through the cracks there, and it's almost – you're talking, and I'm trying to follow, and
I'm sorry. I know.
No, I'm not confusing, saying that you're not communicating it effectively. There's so much to know and to understand, if this rate and this level and that. That's why going to professionals is pretty much the only way to go to understand what you actually do qualify for. And there may be people that are underserved because they're just too overwhelmed by the whole thing.
Absolutely.
Figure it out.
And that's why I think it is so important to sit down with someone, and I'm sure you can both attest to the same. Everyone wants to tell you their personal medical story, their financial story, their access to care problems. And it really is an individual situation. Everyone's on different medicine, has different chronic conditions, and they need that one-on-one help.
We are talking about health insurance and the Affordable Care Act. Today is the first deadline for enrollment. Have you enrolled? What did your premiums do? Give us a call at 1-877-428-8255 or 877-GCU-TALK. You can find us on Facebook at WGCU Public Media, Twitter at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. I want to shift to another concern that the Affordable Care Act, that's a cause for a lot of concern for people who do have insurance, and that is premiums. That's the amount that people pay per month for coverage, in case you haven't had it broken down yet. And you guys already know this is a secondhand for you. But that's a cost that's on top of any out-of-pocket cost that you have when you're sick, and that varies plan by plan. Lynn Thorpe with the Health Planning Council, I want to go back to you again. There was a huge outcry right before the election of people alarmed that their monthly premiums were going up. Did that turn out to be something that did happen, or was it a misperception?
Well, for the consumers that we generally work with are people who qualify for the tax credits. So the way the tax credits work is when premiums go up, the tax credits go up as well. So when they're getting the letters in the mail, and I have many consumers getting letters in the mail saying, oh, my premium went up $200. It didn't account for the rise in the tax credits.
That was formulated later?
Well, when they come in and do their application, if they are automatically re-enrolled, their bill will reflect that in January. But it's alarming when you haven't seen the update in your account. When they sit down with us, I'm going to tell you 100% of the time they have their tax credits updated. Their payments have been the same or less for next year.
So the hysteria that we hear, I mean, everybody that I knew on Facebook, everybody that I am friends with, I have a lot of people in the service industry that are friends of mine, and they were, my health insurance doubled, it's more than double, but maybe when it all settles down and it filters down, what you're telling me is most people, almost 100%, or at least 100%, you said 100%?
Of those who are getting tax credits.
Yeah,
so let's go back to all those people who don't qualify for tax credits. Yes, their premiums have gone up significantly.
Okay. Do we know what we owe that to? Can you answer that?
Sure. There's quite a few reasons.
I'm sorry, Meredith. I don't want to put you on the spot there. I mean, it's a lot to answer for, but
No problem. There's quite a few reasons why premiums went up. One of them is that there are less competitors across the state of Florida within the exchanges. Another one is prescription drug costs. I believe they went up in 2015 by approximately 14%, according to Standard & Poor's research. One other factor is that a lot of the people who are newly insured have new health conditions or they have high medical costs. So thinking about diabetes, thinking about some of the other major medical conditions, those all have a cost to it. And one other factor is that coverage for some folks is not continuous. There's still some lack of rules, if you will, to have continuous coverage across the year. And that simply means that somebody may apply for coverage, be a high utilizer to treat their condition, and then stop paying or drop out. And so those are some of the reasons why healthcare costs are rising and why you would see those increased premium amounts across the state of Florida.
And so you'd have people that have health insurance, they get things covered to get through a rough spot, and they quit paying the premiums and they drop right out.
Correct. That does happen.
Mm-hmm. That would cause a financial mm-hmm. bind.
Mm-hmm. And think of all the people that really raced into this. Those were people who had pre-existing conditions that left untreated for years. I've had people come in, they had not had health insurance for 14 years. So their first year, their first couple of years of having health insurance, they're going to be pricey years because they're finally getting health care.
There is so much to talk about. We have to take a quick break right now, but when we come back, we're going to have more about the health insurance in Florida and the Affordable Care Act enrollment deadline being today. We'll continue to take your questions when we come back, but now a quick word on how you can support your local public radio station and keep programs like this on the air. You're listening to Gulf Coast Live on WGCU NPR for Southwest Florida. Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. We're talking about the Affordable Care Act. Enrollment deadline for the January 1st coverage is today, and we're talking with Florida Blue, the Health Planning Council, and the Naples Neighborhood Health Clinic. Call us at 1-877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. Message us on Facebook. We're at WGCU Public Media, or on Twitter at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. Lynn Thorpe with the Health Planning Council, you told me that there was a glitch in the system. There was a problem with the website this morning?
Well, when on days like today, where there's a lot of traffic, the website sometimes slows down and puts you in a holding pattern. So if you're not able to log into your account, you may see a message that says health care coverage or health coverage around the corner, system down. If you stay on that page, sometimes it could take 5 minutes. This morning it took me 90 minutes. Eventually the username login will come on. So I would encourage you, if you're thinking about going on anytime today and you have a cell phone, a tablet, a computer access, try to get on the site. Once you have that screen, you'll be able to log in. Another thing that's important for people to know, if you don't have access to a computer or you don't want to do it online, you can call the National Call Center and do it over the phone.
Can you give us that number real quick?
I can. It's 1-800-318-2596.
All right. And that's if you wanted to call in to find out about the subsidies and get yourself enrolled.
Correct.
All right. Well, we do have a phone call. We have Lori on the line from Naples. Lori, what's your story?
Hi. I moved to Naples from Pennsylvania, where I was covered through the National Healthcare Plan. And for certain reasons right now, I am making under $23,000, which they said was the cutoff for renewing my coverage for 2017. So since I don't hit that $23,000 mark, they said I would be eligible for Medicaid, but of course in Florida there is no Medicaid. So I am apparently one of 590,000 people in Florida that fall through this gap.
How many people are in your family size? In your
just
household.
Me.
So it's just you and you file a tax return?
I do.
And are you offer employer-sponsored coverage?
No, I'm not.
So you absolutely would qualify for tax subsidies. And you would also qualify for cost-sharing reductions, which means your deductibles and copays would be lower as well. So I would encourage you to either stop by our office or the Florida Blue office or call the Marketplace and have them help you through your application, because it sounds like your eligibility was incorrect.
Because they said as a percentage of the poverty level below $23,000, I'm not eligible for – I'm only eligible for Medicaid and
that's,
not
– That's incorrect for an individual filing their tax return. That amount would be under $11,880.
Interesting.
Well, that's some good news then, Lori.
Yes, it surely is. And who do I call?
You know what? If you want to leave your information, I will call you after the show.
I would appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Oh, Matt has her information. Our producer got her information for you,
okay,
so
perfect.
We can get that figured out. Well, but Keith, I wanted to talk to you about in Naples. You know, you got people maybe that qualify for a policy. They might qualify for subsidies on the healthcare exchange, and they still struggle to make those premium payments because, as we all know, living in Naples is not cheap. It has some of the highest rent, and we did a story about that maybe a couple weeks ago. So the housing is pretty expensive there. So if people then choose not to pay the premiums and they just kind of drop out of it, are these people that can come to the neighborhood health clinic?
Yeah, and it all depends. I mean, if you look at the qualifications in when you're talking about becoming a patient at the clinic, there's basically some things you have to go through. But there are also 13 hardship exemptions out there as well that people would qualify for the clinic and be able to do that. So, you know, again, for the clinic, you'd qualify ages 19 to 64. You would look at 200% below the poverty rate. You would look at working uninsured, so working at least 80 hours a month. So you'd have to come in, you'd have to call us, set up an appointment, come in. And we can go through that with you to see if you would qualify. And again, you know, just last year alone, we had 9,300 visits from patients at the clinic. So we have a large amount of patients currently. We have about 14,000 plus in our database that we treated at the clinic.
What is your capacity?
Right now, actually, we have, with the services we provide, we're actually expanding. So we're looking at actually expanding our dental clinic and creating, opening a dental building. You know, for instance, we're going to look at dental as it's a major component and need within Collier County. You know, when you're dealing with somebody that has maybe diabetes or another disease that they're fighting, they may have issues with their mouth. There may be disease in their mouth that is affecting the diabetes, that's affecting the hypertension. And you can't do much more for them until you treat their mouth. And currently we do have in the facility, we do have dental. We have 36 dentists that volunteer. But as we're looking to do, we're looking to expand to add 4 or 5 operatories within the new dental building, which then would allow us to treat those patients, not just the 10 out of a 1 out of 10 situation, but the 8s, the 9s, the 7s, the 6s, and be able to really treat them, give them more quality services that we provide.
So how are you funded if you're providing this kind of care for people?
It's all private philanthropy. You know, we take no government money. We're very excited because, again, there's no insurance, no government funding. It's all private philanthropy. And since 1999, when Dr. Lashide and Nancy Lashide actually put the clinic in place, they did this for a reason. It allows us to look at our patients and give our patients the best service possible.
All right. Well, Lynn and Meredith, I wanted to ask you about these poverty level numbers. Can you explain a little bit about that to me?
Absolutely. I think you have two great experts right here.
I think do go slow because I'll get confused really fast. I'm sorry. Okay. I hate to say that. But
perfect. So when you apply for a federal subsidy, whether through the Navigators or Florida Blue at the center, what you need to do is really bring and estimate your household income for 2017. And it's going to be based on the county in which you live, the number of people in your household, your smoking status, and then the government will take that information and determine how much money the government will pay towards your health plan every month. So, for example, and this is the numbers that I always like to stick with, for a single person at 100% of the federal poverty level, you must earn at least $11,800. I think it's actually $11,880, all the way up to $47,520. If you fall within those numbers as one person filing taxes, you would most likely receive a subsidy. For a family of four, that's another common one I get asked. Hey, will I qualify? I have a family of four. Yes, if your income approximately falls between $24,000, that's on the lower side, 100% of the federal poverty level, all the way up to about $97,000 on the upper side, which is 400% of the poverty level. That's how the subsidy levels are really calculated, by federal poverty level guidelines dictating how much each person must earn to qualify for money. If you are on the lower end, down by that 100% of the federal poverty level, you will receive more money per month versus somebody who is at the 400% level. They might only receive like $5, $10, $100. I always like to give a really simple example. If you think of $100, there's four of us in the room. We apply for the same plan. We have different numbers of people in our households. Maybe half of us, well, I can't even say that, with smoking. One of us might pay $100. One of us might pay $75. One might pay $50. And one of us might even pay $25, all for that same plan for a monthly premium. Does that help understand a little bit more how the federal subsidies help?
Yeah, but I'm curious, does it make a difference if you live in Collier County versus Lee County?
Yes, everything's priced out by counties.
So they take into consideration the cost of living in each of the different counties?
Correct, yes.
Hendry, mm-hmm. DeSoto, mm-hmm. Charlotte, all mm-hmm. completely different.
That's why on the application you do have to put in your address and zip code, and that's really one of the basis points.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
But there will always be a plan available in your county that is based on a percent of your household income. So, for example, if you are living at around 100% of the poverty level, it doesn't matter what county you live in, there will be a plan available to you between 1 and 2% of your income.
Okay. So if someone loses their job in the middle of the year,
yes,
what happens then?
It's a special election period. That's one of the biggest reasons people can come and get coverage throughout the year outside of open enrollment, which is now. So if, let's say, for instance, I'm working January through April at company ABC, and I leave that role for whatever reason, and I lose my group coverage, I can go through a navigator, go through the Florida Blue Center or any agent, and obtain health insurance. That is a special election period.
So what if somebody has a plan that has subsidies, everything's rolling along just fine, and then they miss a couple payments? They miss April and May. What do they do in June? Can they pick that back up? Can they re-enroll in that same plan?
They would just need to make those payments for those months, quite frankly, because there is a grace period up to 90 days, and it does go back to the date of the last payment. So I really encourage people to make their payments timely, and that way you can really have your health care coverage, have the value of your health care coverage, get to the doctor. And one of the big facts that I think we need to really bring up today is that the big value of health care insurance coverage is that there's 2 million people who go medically bankrupt every year. And so as we look towards the future, you know, with everything with the new administration, we have to be really mindful of right now. And that's that Obamacare, the ACA, is indeed the law of the land. And part of the value, or a lot of the value for us here in our community, across the three of the professionals here, is that we want our community to be covered. And we know that a big value is that we can prevent some of that financial 2 million medical bankruptcies in the U.S. in a year.
So you mentioned the new administration coming in. There have been a lot of promises and that they're going to dismantle or take away Affordable Care Act. There's threats and words. If it becomes a reality, how can that affect people? What if somebody got insurance, for example, starting January 1st in July? Can everything get taken away?
Sure. This is a topic that I'm asked and my entire team is asked many times per day. During the election, our president-elect did indeed talk about repealing and replacing the law. But we have to understand that it took about 6 years for the ACA to become what it is today. And there's approximately 20 million people that would be affected. So as we look to the future, especially Florida Blue, we're very eager to work with that administration. And it's really about coverage and affordability and access to care. And that is shown through our commitment by being in all 67 counties since day one. Florida Blue complied with the law. And that's our commitment. That's our mission, to help people and communities achieve better health. And so we're committed right now. It's the law of the land. Florida Blue complied since day one. We have always been in all 67 counties. And I hope you can even hear the passion coming through my voice of how much we care and we want to get people insured.
So do you think it's – Lynn, do you think it's even a possibility that come, you know, June or July or some arbitrary date in 2017 that – the subsidies can just be taken away? Is that something that seems plausible, or could it be affected?
I have been told that it is business as usual for the entire year for 2017, that people who enroll should feel confident that they will keep their coverage for the entire year. I encourage everyone who is insured, go to the doctor, go and get your preventive care visit taken care of early in the year. Use your health insurance.
Yeah, I'm just concerned because I'm sure that, and maybe it's just listening to hearsay and listening to different comments and commentators that may just inspire fear in a lot of people that may cause that. Have you seen people walking away from getting health care coverage because they're afraid it's going to go away?
No, I haven't. As a matter of fact, our enrollment numbers are the highest this year out of all 4 years of open enrollment. As of Monday, the numbers in Florida are 878,000 people have enrolled in the marketplace. Here in Naples and Fort Myers, over 53,000 already, and we haven't even hit the heavy part of enrollment yet. So that's outstanding.
So nobody's afraid to go and enroll.
I think people are rushing at it
yes.
right now.
And I think some of the stats that I opened the show with you was that in the week past the election, Florida Blue alone had a 70% increase over the same time period last year.
Why do you think that is?
That's due to everyone wanting to get their coverage and knowing it's the couple years into the law now that we can get coverage. We're an open enrollment. And that was a big talk of the election. Like I said earlier, a lot of talk about the repeal and replace, but we have 20 million people under coverage. And so Florida Blue is very eager to work with the administration. And we're seeing those numbers. Like I said, over 26,000 people visited the Florida Blue Center in those 2 weeks after the election. Floridians alone understand the value of insurance. And I think it goes back to some of the points my colleagues here made, just the value of insurance, that medical bankruptcy, that preventive care, that chronic condition management. And there's a lot of value in that.
And an older population as well that contributes a lot.
You know, you were asking about what could happen this year, and of course none of us know exactly.
Nobody has a crystal ball, and
correct.
It is very unpredictable.
Correct. But I think we all know and understand that if the subsidies were taken away during the year, it would make it unaffordable for most people to retain their coverage. The people that would keep their coverage will be the people who need it the most, and it would destabilize the insurance industry. I can't imagine that our new administration would want to see that happen.
Yeah. And the talk has been amended to say not completely just throwing everything in the trash, and things are kind of evolving and changing as people become more familiar with what they're stepping into and things.
And we've talked about there's opportunity and room for improvement. So let's be hopeful that, you know, more people will be covered in more affordable ways in the future.
Well, some of the numbers that you gave me, you said that 25% of the people that are enrolled nationally are in Florida.
Yes.
Why? That's a lot.
It is a lot.
Do you know why our state would make up that significant amount on the national level?
Well, we've always had the highest enrollments here compared to the rest of the country. We have a unique population. We have a lot of early retirees. When you're estimating your income, it's MAGI. So it's besides your regular income, it's the taxable and non-taxable portion of your Social Security income. So it's making a lot of people be able to afford to retire early before they go on Medicare. So that's a unique population that we have here specifically. And then as we were talking about earlier, we have a huge service industry here. A lot of part-time workers who are not offered health and coverage through their employer.
Yeah. You've been working in this kind of realm since 2013. How have you seen it evolve since then?
Well, the website's gotten a lot better.
Yeah.
More people are understanding it so much better than they were. The process for renewal this year has been fantastic. On the website even, all the information is already in the system. So I can have breezed through an appointment that may have taken 2 hours in 15 minutes. Florida Blue now has a new payment system online, which is making it easier for people to make their binder payments. So everything has just gotten a lot easier.
Okay. So if people have not gotten their health insurance through the Affordable Care Act yet today, they have until midnight?
Correct. I have not heard of an extension. I would suggest at this point, if you are unable to do it on your own, to call the call center. If there is a line in years past, they have allowed those people to call back on another day as long as they have made the effort today.
Oh, okay.
And at the Florida Blue Center, people can walk in anytime today. We stay until our last person is served.
How has it been today? Is the line out the door?
It's very busy. Last night, I know we were there well into the evening, the late evening.
Wow. I just can't imagine how many people there are. And then if they miss this deadline, then you said earlier in the show, in case anybody missed it, the next deadline?
The next deadline is January 15th for February 1st coverage. And then the final deadline is January 31st for March 1st coverage.
And if somebody doesn't get any coverage, they are hit with a fine, correct?
Correct. It's $695 an individual or 2.5% of their income.
Okay.
$347.50 per child. And for those of you who don't have health insurance for your children, remember there's also Florida Kid Care is a great option for families.
And we're going to have links to all of these sites and all of you on our website, which is wgcunews.org. And with Keith, I wanted to ask you one more time to tell me, how do people learn about what services you offer and their qualifications?
Absolutely. So you can call us, of course, at 239-261-6600. And you can also go to www.neighborhoodhealthclinic.org, and that'll give you some of that information as well. And it's, of course, we have it. I have information in Spanish and English. We do some Creole as well. But it's very important to be able to look at that, get that information, and then give us a call if you have any questions.
All right. And again, I wanted to reiterate that we are going to have all this information on our website. We're going to have to leave it there. A tremendous thank you to our guests who are incredibly busy today. And once again, I really appreciate you coming in because it's an important subject, but it's a very busy day, the last day for enrollment in the Affordable Care Act. Thank you for coming in. Keith Maples of Neighborhood Healthcare, Meredith Viskovich with Florida Blue, and Lynn Thorpe with the Health Planning Council of Southwest Florida. The conversation continues online with information and links to get you connected with a plan on healthcare.gov or with someone who can help you figure out how to get coverage. It's all online at wgcunews.org. Our show today was produced by Matthew Smith and directed by Richard Chin Kui with technical help from A.J. Leonard. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. Tomorrow on Gulf Coast Live, teenagers who are homeless. You don't hear much about them. You probably don't see them, but they're in growing numbers in our communities across the region, living on a friend's couch, sometimes with a relative. But when those teens run out of options, they wind up on the street, and that's a rock bottom that's hard to recover from, according to social workers. Tomorrow on the show, we'll talk to a homeless teen about what it's like to be invisible. We'll speak with people from Collier County to Sarasota working to help young people with nowhere to go. Thanks for listening. I'm Julie Glenn. This is WGCU News FM, Fort Myers, 90.1 WMKO, Marco Island, 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida. And now, more on how you can help support public radio and help feed hungry families in Southwest Florida.